you introduce yourself? Tell me your name, where you live, where you're from.
Sure. My name is Jay O'Neill. I live in Charleston, West Virginia. I'm originally from Amarillo, Texas.
And where do you teach?
I teach at Stonewall Jackson Middle School here in Charleston.
So could you tell me a little bit about your role in the teacher strike, like what you would do every day during the actual strike? We know the timeline from your essay, but what were you doing day to day during the 9 days?
Yeah, so because I live in Charleston and I live in the East End, so I'm really close to the Capitol. So honestly, every morning, got up, walked to the Capitol. First few mornings, was surprised to see myself waiting like an hour and a half in line just to get in the Capitol because of the huge lines around the building. I even started to learn that if I went in on the, I guess it's the east side of the building, not the cultural center side, but the other side, usually the lines were shorter. So I started walking around doing that. But I'd get in and usually just depended on the day, but hang out in front of the Senate chamber or in front of the House chamber with so many other people chanting and with signs and just kind of doing that. Occasionally I would try to catch members of the House or Senate in their offices or in between and talk to them. And then as things progressed, I remember at the beginning, like, really wanting the national press to pick up on this and thinking, you know, like, hello, a whole state went out on strike. And it didn't really seem like it. And then suddenly by about probably day four-ish, or especially maybe after they had initially told us to go back and we stayed out, suddenly then it was like everyone was interested. So I know towards the end of that, I spent quite a bit of time trying to find like a quiet place in the hallway to talk on the phone to people and like different reporters and different things, because we'd finally generated enough interest. I remember lots of lunches down in the cafeteria in the basement of the building. I also remember lots of pizza that finally the last couple days of the strike got brought in. But it was a lot of just roaming all over the Capitol, chanting, cheering out front, trying to meet with legislators, and then just seeing other teachers I knew, talking about what they were hearing, how things were going. Stuff like that.
Yeah, I was wondering if there had been some kind of number tracking of like the economic impact of the strike on the east end of Charleston, because there was like so many people eating at all the restaurants.
Yeah, it's a good question. I would love to know, and they probably have record of this in the cafeteria downstairs, because it was just completely mobbed every day. And a lot of people ended up leaving at lunch because they were hungry and it was crowded and there was nowhere to eat. And unfortunately, a lot wouldn't come back all the time because you didn't want to wait in security again. And so that was one of the great things about when they finally brought pizza the last few days, is teachers didn't have to leave. So that meant more people were at the Capitol for longer.
Mm-hmm. So did you make signs or wear t-shirts and talk about your...
Yeah. Every day I wore red up there. I think I had maybe only two t-shirts. I think I had three different t-shirts I was kind of cycling between and then, you know, washing on the other days. so I always wore red. And then, yeah, I definitely had different signs. One of my ones that I, it's stupid, but that I was kind of proud of. This one I had at a rally actually before it started, but it was when Governor Justice had proposed it like a 1%, you know, pay raise, and I called it PEIA man, and I had it in the shape of Pac-Man and was just eating up the 1% raises, because that's how we felt with PEIA, like 1%, are you serious? Our costs are going up so much every year, like we're not even going to see that. But yeah, lots of signs. Another one I made that was kind of cool is at the time there were university staff in the UK out on strike in the spring. So we made a solidarity sign for them and took a photo of that. And that kind of went, I guess, like viral, you know, out in the internet and stuff. And so that was pretty cool. That was kind of a memorable moment. We had it in front of a big crowd of people inside. And so, yeah.
What was your past experience with labor movement knowledge or witnessing it or being a part of anything?
Yeah, so I'd been a teacher in San Francisco and was part of the union there. And not super active because they have collective bargaining, like everybody's a member of the union. My final year, though, I was kind of our building rep, and I was probably pretty terrible at it, like not, didn't know what I was doing. But I remember our last year there, they voted, I think they, it's all this bureaucratic stuff, but they voted to take a strike vote, I think. San Francisco never went on strike, but they like started the process of that. And I remember going and doing that and voting for that and kind of having this big, it wasn't really a rally, but meeting at this school and just kind of feeling empowered and thinking this was really cool. And so I had kind of always been into, you know, the labor movement since then and read a lot about it. And prior to the strike, I'd read a lot about the Chicago teacher strike and other things, but this was definitely my first like strike or any real thing like that.
What did you go back and say to your students?
Well, before it happened, you know, I was trying to kind of explain the situation as best they could understand it. They're in middle school and understanding insurance premiums and rising costs, like, you know. But when I got back, they were excited to see me. They were happy about just being back. Some told me they saw me on the news and they thought that was really cool. But I kind of compared it. That year I was teaching English and we had just read a novel about the civil rights movement. And so it was a really nice segue to just kind of compare, like, look, like it's people kind of collectively standing up for their rights and standing up for what they believe in. And I think tying that together really helped them kind of understand and kind of get what we were trying to do.
Cool. I'm just reading Jesse Wilkerson's book about Appalachian women's movement and in the 60s and 70s. And she's talking about how it was all part of, it was like worker rights, it was civil rights, it was all like caregiving rights, clinics all together, which so it makes sense that it would be all tied, especially here. How do you think, what impact did the strike have on like teachers as a group in West Virginia?
Like group identity or group formation?
Yeah, you know, you saw, like the hashtags like 55 United and 55 Strong. And I saw a lot of people after that, like saying like, we are the 55 Strong. And one really cool thing is, you know, West Virginia, we're so used to like being last in everything. And I think a lot of people, they have pride in their state here, but they're not used to people in other states like maybe thinking great things about West Virginia, unfortunately. And so after that, it was so cool to hear so many teachers say like, oh, somebody saw my t-shirt. I was on vacation in D.C. and somebody saw my t-shirt and they wanted to talk about the teacher strike and they thought it was so cool. And it was like this kind of cool in-group to be a part of. And I think there was a lot of pride of like, I'm a West Virginia teacher, you know? And so that was, and still is, like that was a really cool thing to see after the strike.
That's awesome.
Do you see this as part of a larger labor movement?
Yeah, now I do. If you had asked me that on like day one of the strike in 2018, I don't think I would have said yes, but just seeing what happened afterward in so many states and how it's still going, I think so. I'm hopeful that this bleeds over into areas that's not just education, not just teaching, but other kind of things. So yeah, I hope we're just on the beginning of something. I think, well, one, nationally, like, our pay has kind of eroded, especially since the recession, like, 2008. I know there's a lot of states that are spending less per pupil than they were before then. So that's been a factor. I think that we've been really micromanaged in about the last 10 or 15 years, especially with standardized testing. So that's adding to it. And then, you know, West Virginia is not the only state. There's a teacher shortage. So you've got this job that you need certain qualifications for. Not just anyone can do. You can't just fill it with anybody. And yet you're overworking the people and underpaying them. And I feel like at a certain point, that's just like a recipe for a strike, basically. Because, like, you can't – it's not like they can just pull in scabs or something and put in new people. Like,
it seems like they're trying to. They underqualified.
They are. They're just – instead of paying us more, they just lower the qualifications. Yeah. But I think that kind of just – made for it. I think that's why you saw it pop off in so many other states. It was the same situation.
So I asked you this before, but do you think teachers are working class? How do you define the working class? I've seen a lot of debate about this.
Yeah, it's a good question because people will think like, well, you have a college degree. Some of you have advanced degrees. You can't be working class. I feel like for me, I've just decided if I have to like get up every day and work for a salary, then I'm working class,
yeah. You
know? And I think if we put ourselves in solidarity with the working class and what people think of as traditionally the working class, there's a lot of power there, and that's really the truth of it. I mean, especially in this state, it's very clear who's running the show. It's very clear who the laws benefit. And so I think the only place for teachers is to be, you know, kind of more thinking of themselves as working class and in solidarity with, you know, maybe people who are more the stereotypical working class who don't have college degrees. But we're really all in this together here.
Yeah, and I guess if you think about the whole school environment, because it was public service worker strike and not just teachers and, you know, the people who have the power to actually stop the buses from running. So why not see yourself in solidarity with everyone there?
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, yeah, I was listening to a Jacobin interview and she was kind of just presenting it as the 99% versus the 1%. So I think that's a good way to approach it in a way that doesn't divide people necessarily.
Yeah, that term working class for some reason is still kind of divisive. People don't like to think of themselves that way. But yeah, I think the 99% versus the 1% makes it pretty clear, you know, which side you're on.
Yeah.
Do you think the impacts are, so you talked a little bit about how the strike affects how teachers think of themselves, but just like in the community, in West Virginia, in politics, in the state?
What's the aftermath?
Well, on the really micro level, I'll say just at my school this year, it's been interesting because teachers have been a lot less apt to kind of, I guess, take whatever from administration. So our poor principal, who's like, I never had grievances filed on him, as I've had like two filed this year. They're just like, and they even told me, they said, man, since the strike, I feel so much more empowered. Like, I'm not taking this, you know? So that's been really interesting. Thinking about that broader with the community and the state, I'm not sure yet. Like, I feel like I'm still kind of waiting to see what this is going to mean. You know, you saw the two-day strike here this year, and it wasn't really over salary or any of those kind of issues. It was mainly over charter schools, education savings accounts, all those privatization things. And I mean, everybody knows that would not have happened had last year not happened. And I think people got a sense of their own power and understand what it means to kind of come together collectively, and I hope we don't lose that in the future here. You know, I hope, and I would love to see that grow beyond just teachers and school service personnel to a bigger part of West Virginia. We'll see.
And I think one of the things that this did, it wasn't about a party politics. I mean, there was, if you talk think about who were kind of the enemies of the strike, it was probably Republicans, but there was also some, you know, pulling up past Democrats' actions and blaming them for cutting tax on corporations. So it was kind of a collective in that way.
Do you see that having any kind of impact on, like, state politics?
Yeah, I hope so, because I think that's the only hope, is moving past, like, the party labels. It's sad because I still see a lot of teachers, like, trying to go one way or the other, you know, like, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, whatever. And I think we've got to get outside of that and just realize, like, man, both parties have a ton of issues, and honestly, neither one have done any favors historically to West Virginia. I think I have seen some hope. I know a lot of teachers said they changed their registration to independent. And I think this did, even this year, woke up a lot of people. I'm curious to know the effects down the road. I will say I think a lot of us were a little disappointed in the election in November, thinking that the more seats would be flipped. And so this is, you know, what, like a year and a half before the next election. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, if people kind of remember this, or if other things kind of get in the way and, you know, they vote based on other kind of principles or ideas.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of it is getting different kind of candidates to run, because we're kind of stuck in these, like, no good option situations. You did a Jacobin thing, right? Like a New York.
Yeah, sorry.
I was curious, like, how did people there respond to you, and, like, were there questions what you expected, or were you surprised by anything?
I don't know what I expected in that one, especially because it was, I think the strike ended on Tuesday, and that was Saturday, like 3 or 4 days after it. So we were just kind of just trying to figure everything out. You know, a lot of the sentiment was kind of like, how could this happen in Trump country? And trying to wrap their head around that. So that was kind of interesting. And as someone who's not from here, I understand that question, but I think when you're living in it, you know, you just sense that people were desperate. You know, I mean, that's why they voted for Trump too. It's out of desperation. And at a certain point, you just have to kind of fight back. I think one cool thing that surprised me, I guess, just personally, is I guess I kind of associate New York and Jacobin and groups like that is a little more like intellectual, and I guess I was thinking like, oh man, am I gonna like measure up to this? Is this gonna be all right, or are they gonna be kind of snobby and looking down at me? And actually, people were super cool and super down to earth, and wanted to learn a ton. I mean, I met with some teachers there. We're just kind of like, how did this happen? Like, their minds were kind of blown by what happened, and I hope that West Virginia kind of leading the way on this stuff, like, maybe kind of, what's the right way to put this? Like, because I'm saying this because I lived in San Francisco, maybe makes people on the coast a little less snobby about some things, and kind of helps them, you know, realize that, like, places in the middle of the country might have some of the answers to what we need as well.
Yeah, I hope so.
Could you talk a little bit about the caucus?
Yeah, so I guess, like, I'll back up a little. Like, you know, in Chicago, which was kind of, Chicago teacher strike in 2012 was kind of the one that a lot of teachers look at as kind of like a watershed moment as far as, like, this teacher activism and stuff happening, because I don't know when the last big one was before that. And that kind of made national waves and stuff. And, you know, in Chicago, it was a caucus called CORE, the Caucus of Rank and File Educators, that kind of took over their union, pushed it a certain direction, went on strike, was successful, all that. And so, anyway, we had seen kind of the caucus model. And so after the strike, I wasn't really sure what to expect, but I was surprised at how quickly our unions here kind of went back to what seemed to me like life, you know, just business as usual. they stopped working together really and kind of doing their own thing. And so a lot of us that during the strike had kind of gotten to know each other and were in either union, either AFT or WVEA, thought, well, we don't want this to die, and it doesn't seem like union leadership is kind of going to keep it up. And so we just kind of started meeting together. I honestly was using that big Facebook group to just like see people that posted a lot and seemed reasonable. I would just message them and be like, hey, we're doing this. We're meeting up in Charleston on the State of Utica Gov. And like some did, and like we're great friends now. And anyway, we had a kind of a get together over the summer for a weekend and just kind of put things together and decided, I think we're going to form a caucus to really try to continue to push our unions in kind of a more militant direction and a real fighting direction. And also for us to keep our unions working together, because we know that's where the real strength is. And I'm really glad we did. I feel like, and I don't want to take too much credit, but I feel like with this last strike, our caucus was really able to kind of change the narrative on things. We pushed really hard the anti-privatization message and really came out strong about what charter schools were, what education savings account were, and why we even were having this pop out of nowhere in West Virginia. And I think it helped a lot. So, you know, we're continuing to work together and moving and hoping to grow the caucus and just really kind of shift the direction of the teachers' unions here.
And is it like how you're voting in the unions
as a caucus so it's, body? It's kind of, right now, it's mainly like really trying to be from the bottom up, pushing our unions in a certain direction. So for instance, one thing that we did was like we tried to do a statewide walk-in on the first day of the legislative session this year, you know, people picketing out in front of their schools. And we didn't end up getting every county because a lot were like, well, what does union leadership say, you know, at the state level and stuff. But we probably had more than half statewide, and we got a lot of good press coverage from it. But we just did that by starting at the local level, with local people, and just really pushing that message, saying this is something we think we should do. What do you think? And a lot of people were like, yeah. And so that it would kind of just, you know, trickle up to the top, and then eventually state leadership kind of didn't really have a choice but to sign on because, you know, half their people are doing it. And so that's kind of our strategy, is just to continue work from the bottom up and kind of push our unions. You know.
And so where do you see, so you had the 2-day strike and nothing has really progressed. So what's next for that, and, you know, maybe with your other organizing?
Yeah, that's a good question. We had the 2-day strike. We thought we had killed this thing. And then they call a special session. And now it's become like abundantly clear, just from interviews with members of the Senate, for instance, that they're going to try to push the exact same stuff that was in the bill that caused us to go on strike. It's kind of incredible. So, I mean, right now there's, actually after this, I'm going to go to one tonight, there's education forums all across the state that the Department of Education is hosting and trying to really hear from teachers and parents and community members, which is a good idea, about these issues. They're going to compile a report. I know there's other meetings being held all over the state, people just talking about what they really think our schools need. Special session's going to happen in probably April or May. Just to be honest with you, I think you could have, you know, thousands and thousands of people saying they don't want charter schools, and I think they're still going to try to push it in the special session. You know, so right now, like, for instance, as a caucus, we're trying to really continue to hammer the message of this is privatization, this is out-of-state interest, like, you know, say it for what it really is. Don't beat around the bush on it. And I honestly think maybe gearing up for another walkout. It really depends on when the special session is, but we'd like to probably push our unions that direction again, because I think that's the only thing these people understand. I'll be honest, I was really hoping this would die with the end of the session, because I really wanted a break. Like, yeah, I was right. Just exhausted from the session. But as far as organizing beyond that, you know, our caucus is still doing things. We're planning summer get-togethers. A lot of us are going to get together with teachers in caucuses from across the country at the end of July in Philadelphia. So there's a big network that's developing of teachers in all these states and all these cities across the country, and we're learning from each other. And, you know, moving forward. And it's really exciting work, and it's really good stuff. And so I think the future looks pretty bright for that, both here and across the country. And I'm excited.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I'll just say that, you know, I was frustrated for a while here, and I remember hearing about the 1990 strike and definitely thought that's what we need to do. And I know a lot of teachers thought that. So many teachers would be like, we just need to go on strike. But I never thought it would happen. And it's, this whole thing is like, there's this quote, and I used it in the book, and I know it's a little bit cliche, but it's that, like, we're the ones we've been waiting for. Like, I don't know, that's the biggest thing I've learned, is you've just got to make stuff happen sometimes. Like, you can't wait for other people to do it for you. And we learned with the strike, like, it was a lot of work, but at the same time, it wasn't, because people were ready. They just needed some people to come together and say, like, all right, we're going to do this. So I don't know. That really made an impact on me. And I think that's probably one of the things that's kind of forever changed me with this, is realizing, like, you don't have to be some expert. You just have to be willing to do it.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Are there other ways that you feel like the strike changed you personally, professionally?
Yeah, probably a lot. I think politically I'm, like, a lot farther to the left now than I was, because I just saw, like, the power of the working class, like, all these terms that kind of sound dumb until you, like, experience a strike and you're like, oh, all right, like, I kind of get it. So that definitely, it's made me a lot more interested just in labor and organizing and all those kind of things. Like, I never would have thought of myself as, like, an organizer or anything like that before, and now I feel like that's who I am. It's made it a little more difficult to, like, teach all the time, you know. Sometimes organizing is a little more exciting. And the networks that have built out of it, just by meeting people all over the country. I mean, I even went to England last summer talking about the strike and met people there that are really, like, in the same boat. And that's been really cool, but really valuable, because I've learned so much from some of these people everywhere. Yeah, again, it's made me hopeful. It's made me kind of excited about the future, both in the state and in the country and in the world. And I don't know, I may listen to this later and realize I was wrong, but I feel hopeful about the future, and I'm kind of excited to see where things go.
I don't think hope is ever wrong. Okay. We all need it, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.